Sri Aurobindo, the synthesis of yoga. Continuing with part 2, the yoga of integral knowledge, chapter 20, the lower triple purusha, picking up on page 461. We may seek this knowledge on two sides separately, the side of purusha, the side of prakriti. And we may combine the two for the perfect possession of the various relations of purusha and prakriti in the light of the divine. There is, says the Upanishad, a fivefold soul in man and the world, the microcosm and the macrocosm. The physical soul, self or being, purusha, Atman, is that of which we are all at first conscious, a self which seems to have hardly any existence apart from the body, and no action vital or even mental independent of it. This physical soul is present everywhere in material nature. It pervades the body, actuates obscurely its movements, and is the whole basis of its experiences. It informs all things, even that are not mentally conscious. But in man, this physical being has become vitalized and mentalized. It has received something of the law and capacities of the vital and mental being and nature. But its possession of them is derivative, superimposed, as it were, on its original nature, and exercised under subjection to the law and action of the physical existence and its instruments. It is this dominance of our mental and vital parts by the body and the physical nature which seems at first sight to justify the theory of the materialists, that mind and life are only circumstances and results of physical force, and all their operations explicable by the activities of that force in the animal body. In fact, entire subjection of the mind and the life to the body is the characteristic of an underdeveloped humanity, as it is in an even greater degree of the infrahuman animal. According to the theory of reincarnation, those who do not get beyond this stage in the earthly life cannot rise after death to the mental or higher vital worlds, but have to return from the confines of a series of physical planes to increase their development in the next earthly existence. For the undeveloped physical soul is entirely dominated by material nature and its impressions, and has to work them out to a better advantage before it can rise in the scale of being. A more developed humanity allows us to make a better and freer use of all the capacities and experiences that we derive from the vital and mental planes of being, to lean more for support upon these hidden planes, be less absorbed by the physical, and to govern and modify the original nature of the physical being by greater vital forces and powers from the desire world, and greater and subtler mental forces and powers from the psychical and intellectual planes. By this development, we are able to rise to higher altitudes of the intermediary existence between death and rebirth, and to make a better and more rapid use of rebirth itself for a yet higher mental and spiritual development. But even so, in the physical being, which still determines the greater part of our waking self, we act without definite consciousness of the worlds or planes which are the sources of our action. We are aware, indeed, of the life plane and mind plane of the physical being, but not of the life plane and mind plane proper, or of the superior and larger vital and mental being which we are behind the veil of our ordinary consciousness. It is only at a high stage of development that we become aware of them, and even then, ordinarily, only at the back of the action of our mentalized physical nature. We do not actually live on those planes, for if we did, we could very soon arrive at the conscious control of the body by the life power and of both by the sovereign mind. We should then be able to determine our physical and mental life to a very large extent by our will and knowledge as masters of our being. And with a direct action of the mind on the life and body. By yoga, this power of transcending the physical self and taking possession of the higher selves may, to a greater or less degree, be acquired through a heightened and widened self-consciousness and self-mastery. This may be done on the side of Purusha by drawing back from the physical self and its preoccupation with physical nature, and through concentration of thought and will, raising itself into the vital and then into the mental self. By doing so, we can become the vital being and draw up the physical self into that new consciousness, so that we are only aware of the body, its nature, and its actions as secondary circumstances of the life soul, which we now are, used by it for its relations with the material world. A certain remoteness from physical being, and then a superiority to it, a vivid sense of the body being a mere instrument or shell and easily detachable, an extraordinary effectivity of our desires on our physical being and life environment, a great sense of power and ease in manipulating and directing the vital energy of which we now become vividly conscious. For its action is felt by us concretely, subtly physical in relation to the body, sensible in a sort of subtle density as an energy used by the mind. An awareness of the life plane in us above the physical, and knowledge and contact with the beings of the desire world. A coming into action of new powers, what are usually called occult powers or siddhis. A close sense of and sympathy with the life soul in the world, and a knowledge or sensation of the emotions, desires, vital impulses of others. These are some of the signs of this new consciousness gained by yoga. But all this belongs to the inferior grades of spiritual experience, and indeed is hardly more spiritual than the physical existence. We have in the same way to go yet higher and raise ourselves into the mental self. By doing so, we can become the mental self and draw up the physical and vital being into it, so that life and body and their operations become to us minor circumstances of our being used by the mind-soul, which we now are for the execution of its lower purposes that belong to the material existence. Here, too, we acquire at first a certain remoteness from the life and the body, and our real life seems to be on quite another plane than material man's, in contact with a subtler existence, a greater light of knowledge than the terrestrial, a far rarer and yet more sovereign energy. We are in touch, in fact, with the mental plane, aware of the mental worlds, can be in communication with its beings and powers. From that plane, we behold the desire world and the material existence as if below us, things that we can cast away from us, if we will, and, in fact, easily reject when we relinquish the body, so as to dwell in the mental or psychical heavens. But we can also, instead of being thus remote and detached, become rather superior to the life and body and the vital and material planes, and act upon them with mastery from our new height of being. Another sort of dynamis than physical or vital energy, something that we may call pure mind power and soul force, which the developed human being uses indeed, but derivatively and imperfectly, but which we can now use freely and with knowledge, becomes the ordinary process of our action, while desire force and physical action fall into a secondary place and are only used with this new energy behind them and as its occasional channels. We are in touch and sympathy also with the mind in cosmos, conscious of it, aware of the intentions, directions, thought forces, struggle of subtle powers behind all happenings, which the ordinary man is ignorant of, or can only obscurely infer from the physical happening, but which we can now see and feel directly before there is any physical sign, or even vital intimation of their working. We acquire, too, the knowledge and sense of the mind action of other beings, whether on the physical plane or on those above it, and the higher capacities of the mental being, occult powers or siddhis, but of a much rarer or subtler kind than those proper to the vital plane, naturally awake in our consciousness. All these, however, are circumstances of the lower triple world of our being, the trilokia of the ancient sages. Living on these, we are, whatever the enlargement of our powers and our consciousness, still living within the limits of the cosmic gods and subject, though with a much subtler, easier, and modified subjection, to the reign of Prakriti over Purusha. To achieve real freedom and mastery, we have to ascend a yet higher level of the many plateaued mountain of our being. End of chapter 20, page 464.